Welcome to today's episode of the Normalized Surrogacy Podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I'm your host, Marielle Schuberth, three-time experienced gestational surrogate and intake manager for Surrogacy Mentor and Modern Parent Mentor, where our aim is a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey for all. Today, I'm excited to have Savannah with us. Welcome, Savannah.
Hello.
And today's topic is interview with a surrogate. And so we'll have Savannah tell us a little bit about her and her family and what made you want to become a surrogate.
Yes. So I live with my husband and our little boy. He is going to be three next month. I started looking into surrogacy, well, thinking about it when I was actually pregnant with my son. I had met a woman in my OB's office who, you know, when you're sitting there waiting 45 minutes because they're backed up full of patients, you have small talk with people in the waiting room. And, you know, her conversation was, oh, when are you due? And I, you know, told her I was due the beginning of December with my with a little boy. And she just looked at me and said, well, I've been trying for 15 years to have a baby and I'm just having no luck. And I don't know where to turn. So I'm here to see if I can get a referral to a fertility clinic. And I just felt so bad for her. And, you know, I could see the pain in her eyes. And I know, you know, she was wishing that she was me, you know, she was experiencing what I was experiencing.
Yep.
So she was called back and I was still waiting. And I just remember sitting there thinking, I would love to have a baby for her. And I knew what a surrogate was, but I didn't fully know what it entails. So I just remember my OB was like, I've never, you know, treated a surrogate. It's not common around here. She goes, but if you want to ever do it, she goes, you know, go for it. So I had my son the end of November, and about 3 months after I had him, I started looking into surrogacy, and I applied and got, you know, the OB clearance letter. And about 6 months after applying and getting everything together, I was matched with my first intended parents.
Awesome. I love that it started while you were still pregnant. It's definitely a calling. Either you get it or you don't. Some people look at you like you have the head of a monster, right? Like, what? And other people get it. And if you get it, it's probably part of your path. So I love that. So you were matched with your intended parents. Tell us a little bit about that.
So they are a same-sex male couple. They live out of the country. The first time I met them, I fell in love with them. Like, I had seen their picture because they send you their profile before you're matched, you know? And, I just remember I saw their pictures. I'm like, oh my God, they're so cute. And they look like they're so much fun. There was like pictures of them like hiking and different places they visit. And I was like, oh my God, I'd love to have a baby for them because this baby would not have a boring life at all. Like, this baby would be able to do so many things. So I met them on a Zoom call with the agency and I just fell in love with them. They were just so sweet. You could really tell in their hearts that they really, you know, were wanting a baby. And, you know, usually sometimes, you know, intended parents would say, oh, well, just give me a few days to figure out if I want to have her as a surrogate. But right there and then, like, they're like, yes, we want her. So I was like, great. You know, I was so excited because I knew I wanted to carry for them. I think we, like, myself and the both of them, like, knew that, like, this was meant to be. Like, we were meant to meet and do this.
I love that. And so I guess we skipped ahead to tell us about your experience. But how did your spouse and your family and friends react to you being a surrogate and even wanting to be a surrogate? Did you have support from the start or were people kind of hesitant?
honestly, when I first told my husband, he was like, if that's what you want to do, I support you, you know? He didn't really understand fully what goes into it. He had, you know, he's heard of it. You see, like, a lot of celebrities will have a surrogate, and that's how you, you know what they are. But no one here he knew has ever done it. And my husband's from New Jersey, so no one there he knew of did it either. So, but my, both sides of the family were very supportive, you know, they were very interested in it too. You know, they wanted to know like, oh, well, do they use your egg? And I'm like, no, it's no biological relation to me, you know? And a lot of my friends, you know, they were so, so interested in it that, I started a surrogacy journey page on Facebook. And they got to watch like all of my injections and my whole journey when I was pregnant with my first surrogate baby. And some of them, you know, were interested in being one. But like all the support was incredible. Like I didn't have any kind of negative comments to my face, you know, about, oh, why are you doing that? Well, isn't that a little rough? You know, like everybody was very supportive.
That's awesome. And that, I'm so glad that you had that because not everybody does. And I think it's great that at least with your inner circle and to your face, as you said, everybody was pretty supportive of that because it helps when you've got that kind of support around you, especially when the strangers and the people who aren't necessarily in your inner circle aren't as supportive. It's great to kind of have that around you. Well, so I think that's great. So now we can dive a little bit deeper. You said we met your intended parents. You felt the spark. What did the process kind of look like from there, the screening process once you were matched with them?
So I was matched with them a week before my husband and I got married. And by October, I started doing the medical clearance part, October of 2021. So, you know, I had to have the saline ultrasound done. I had to have blood work. My husband had to have blood work. And then after that, we went into like the legal contracts, and by December, 4 days before my birthday, I started the Lupron injections. And when I started the shots, I was like, okay, you know, we're getting close here, you know, because it seemed like stuff was so far away at first. You're just antsy to get it all, you know, done.
Yep.
But time, you know, and yeah, by December of 2021, I was doing my injections. And January 19th was my transfer with her. My husband and I flew to Portland, Oregon. And we did the transfer there. And we got there on the 18th. Obviously, transfer was the 19th. And then we stayed an extra day because I had to be on bed rest. Because my intended parents were out of the country, they couldn't make it. But, you know, I updated them every second I could, you know, like when I got on the plane, when I had made it to the hotel, the day of transfer, I like updated them, you know, like when I was going to the clinic and how transfer went. So I just kept them in the loop with everything. I couldn't FaceTime them, unfortunately, when transfer is going on because there's a lot of like HIPAA violations, you know, when it comes to that.
Yep.
So, you know, I felt bad that they couldn't be there, but, you know, I updated them every step of the way when I was over there.
That's awesome. And so it sounds like from kind of match meeting to contracts, and it seems like it went pretty quickly for you, like your whole kind of screening process didn't seem to have many hiccups. And that's wonderful because unfortunately it doesn't always go like that. So that's awesome that yours did. And so you have your transfer. Did your first transfer, was that successful?
Yes. I transferred her on January 19th and I got my positive pregnancy test the 25th. So about 6 days after transfer. And, you know, the test kept getting darker. The betas were going up. And we got to that 6 week ultrasound and I got to see her heartbeat. At the time, we didn't know the gender. They didn't know. So, you know, we would find that out later on. Just seeing her little heartbeat, you know, it's like when I was pregnant with my son, I didn't have an ultrasound done until 9 weeks. And he looked like a little gummy bear. And she looks like this tiny little, like a little blueberry in there. That's what she looked like. And it was just amazing because just seeing like how they grow as you have each ultrasound, you know, they go from like looking like a little tiny seed in your uterus to this full grown baby.
Yep.
So yeah, I had a 6 week ultrasound and everything looked great. And I sent them pictures and they were like, it's so funny because, you know, they've never dealt with this before. They were like, that baby's so little. And I was like, well, yeah, you know, baby's got to grow. But, you know, this is what a 6 week ultrasound looks like. There's not much, but we have a good, strong heartbeat, which was all that mattered to me.
Yeah, I know. I always forget that because I've done 3 journeys myself that like normal pregnant people who aren't going through IVF don't get frequent ultrasounds like this, and they only get, you know, the one confirmation and then, you know, the gender ultrasound, that's usually it. And so I remember kind of thinking the same thing when my friends were pregnant after. I'm like, wait, you're not getting an ultrasound? Like, no, most people don't get ultrasounds as frequently as you do, especially in the beginning with a surrogate pregnancy. So it's definitely an interesting twist.
Yeah, I know. Like with my son, I had 3 ultrasounds. With my first surrogate baby, I had like, oh my God, I had like 7 or 8. It was a lot.
Yeah. And I think it depends on the practice too. I've seen different practices throughout mine. And one of my practices, anytime anybody uses IVF, whether it's surrogacy or you know, a family going through IVF, they refer you to maternal fetal medicine just because it's an IVF pregnancy. So I got monthly ultrasounds regardless on top of the early ultrasounds. So it was great because we constantly got to see what was happening with baby. And then I forget that that's like an added perk to sometimes the surrogacies, that you really do get to see a lot more of what's going on in there than kind of in your typical pregnancy. So that's awesome. So things seemed like they're going great. Did you have a pretty smooth pregnancy and delivery?
Yeah. The morning sickness was horrible. I was sick until I was 16 weeks pregnant with her. You try to eat and you're nauseous, and then you're nauseous because you can't eat. And then you feel like the toilet is your best friend, you know. It's just, I was like, oh my God, I'm so sick this pregnancy. When I woke up at 16 weeks and I didn't feel as nauseous, I'm like, oh my God, something's wrong. But I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'm getting a break. But it came back at 23 weeks for a couple days.
Ooh.
But otherwise, yeah, it was very easy. Like, all my prenatal checks were great. Her heartbeat was always great. Her ultrasounds were always, she was always measuring right on track. We had the NIPS testing done at 16 weeks to, you know, check for any, you know, chromosome deficiencies, and everything was negative. And that's when we found out it was a little girl. So I was very excited for them. I think they were shocked. I honestly think they thought that they were going to get a boy first, but I'm surprised I got a little girl first. But yeah, everything was great. Like, I had no complications. I never had anything that was like a red flag to my midwife. Like, I never got sent to like labor and delivery after an appointment because something was, you know, off or something didn't look right. Like, I had an NST with her and she passed it with flying colors. So it was great. And I, you know, was like, okay, this is a really smooth and easy pregnancy. I really hope I have a very easy delivery. And it was, but it wasn't easy at first.
Were the parents able to make it? Because I know you said they were international. Were they able to make it for delivery?
Yes. They came down when I was 37 weeks pregnant. They came over here. And they... you know, I went to my, they went to my 38 week midwife appointment with me. And, you know, my midwife, you know, was explaining things to them. And, it's funny cause you know, there's like pictures of, you know, female parts on the wall and they're just like, oh, okay. You know? And I'm like, welcome to the OB office.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was like telling them, you know, it could happen anytime, but I wouldn't worry right now. Nothing's going on right now. They went to my 39 week appointment with me. And that's when, things were starting to pick up a little bit. I was a centimeter dilated. So she stripped my membranes and she basically looked at them and said, all right, guys, well, it could be any day now, you know, my due date was 10/7 and that was my one intended father's birthday. So I was like, well, she comes on your birthday. Happy birthday. You know, yeah. She actually came the day after.
Of course, but close enough, right?
Yeah. I was miserable because my body had already been through it before. So I was like, okay, well, it knows what to do this time around. And I was in early labor for 3 days. I was exhausted. The night before my due date, I was up all night contracting and I just could not sleep. I was exhausted and I just cried because I was like, it felt like something was going to happen and then it would stop. And I said to my husband, I said, I'm so exhausted. I'm so tired. I just wish she would make up her mind. And he's like, well, she'll come when she's ready. He's like, you know, you can't force it. And he and I laid down at 1:30 and an hour later my water broke and I was like, I called my intended fathers. I was like, we got to go back. My water broke. It's bad. And like, they were 10 times worse this time, like this time around, like it's time, like it's go time. Like,
yep, this is it.
This is it. And, my husband, you know, he's trying, like, luckily at 2:33 in the morning, no one's really on the road. There's no traffic. Yeah. Get to the hospital, you know, without any delays. So it was funny because they walked into the hospital room, my intended fathers, and I was already, you know, my IV was in, my hospital gown was on, I was yelling, and they're like, oh boy. And I was like, yeah, no turning back now. I was like, she's coming now. And yeah, I was in active labor for 18 hours. And yeah, I started pushing at 7:10 at night and I had her at 8:58 at night.
Wow.
So I have to say the pushing part was easier than the laboring. But, you know, that was still hard as well. It's a lot of work to get a baby into this world.
Yeah. So were the dads in the room with you when you delivered?
Yes, they were. So when it came time for me to start pushing, my one intended father, he's a doctor. So he's used to all the blood and stuff. So he wanted to watch. And my husband was watching, too. And they, my husband and my one intended father both stood at my left leg and held it and watched her come out. My other intended father hates blood. He can't handle it. I was afraid he's going to pass out. So he sat on the couch that faces towards the little warming bed.
Yep.
And he gave me moral support from there.
That's, hey, sometimes that's the best kind. If you can't be helpful in this moment, that's good that he knew where his place was on the couch.
I know. And the nurse was like, I just want you to stay there because I really don't want you to pass out and hit your head off this metal tray. She's like, so just sit down. She goes, you can stand up, you know, when the baby's here. But when she came out, they just bawled and bawled and bawled. You know, they expressed a lot of emotion. You know, they were very happy when I told them I was pregnant with her. But like when they saw her for the first time, they just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And my one intended father, he was crying and laughing at the same time. So I couldn't figure out if he was crying or he was laughing. And the nurse is like, is he crying or is he laughing? I was like, I don't know. And he kept going in the bathroom and grabbing toilet paper and blowing his nose.
But, and that's the why, right? That's why we do it, to see those faces and to see that joy. And that's amazing. It sounds like you had a beautiful labor and delivery experience. But so you had mentioned my first journey. So have you had more than one?
So I'm currently on my second journey. I'm 4 weeks and 3 days pregnant.
Oh, congratulations. So you just had a transfer then, and positive beta then, I'm assuming, and we're waiting on heartbeat confirmation. Is that?
Yes. I actually had my embryo transfer on 10/7, which was exactly a year after my due date, a day before her first birthday. So I felt like that was my little good luck, you know, sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to Connecticut this time around. My intended fathers this time around, they live in the U.S.
Okay.
They live in a part of New York. And they are so sweet as well. They have been dreaming about this baby since my one intended father's been saving up since college. And he sat down, every person he was with, do you want kids? No? Well, then goodbye. And when he got with his husband, you know, they both wanted children, and you know, they just kept saving up and saving up because they knew they would have to go the surrogate route.
Yep.
I took the Amtrak from where I live to Connecticut, and I stayed with them, and yeah, we had transfer 10/7, and I got my, I actually at 4 days past transfer decided to take a test because I was eating something that I really enjoy, and I'm like, I hate this. This doesn't taste good. So I'm like, maybe I should just take one. And it was like the faintest line, and I was like, yep. Well, something's going on. And with surrogacy, you know something's in there.
Yep.
So a couple days later, I knew I wanted to test 6 days past, because that's when I got my positive with my first surrogate baby. And it was a very, very blazing positive. And I was like, oh my goodness, the digital said pregnant, you know. So this little one actually started growing in the petri dish before they put the embryo in me. They took the embryo out that morning of transfer, and my IVF doctor took a picture of the embryo from my intended father's, and he comes back in and he goes, so your embryo grew a little bit more from this morning. So we're like, oh, okay. And so this little embryo is very strong.
That's great.
Yes. So I go November 2nd for the heartbeat, and I'm very excited.
Yeah. Well, we will be sending all the good luck and baby dust your way for all of that. And so obviously you decided to do it again. So your first experience, and it sounds like just due to proximity to you, you have a very different relationship with your second set of intended parents than you do your first. How did you feel kind of matching with a different set of intended parents? I know for me, I was always nervous because I had such a wonderful journey that I was like, I'm so scared. Like, what if it's not like that? And my agency was very great and kind of told me it's not going to be like that because every journey is different and every relationship is different. But I was still so nervous. I was like, what if I was just holding it to this like expectation, and my others, you know, were all very different, but all amazing kind of in their own right. So how have you kind of processed that? Were you nervous too?
Yeah, I love my first set of intended fathers so much. Like, we have such an amazing relationship. We talk like almost every day, and I get pictures of the baby, and we FaceTime. She's the sweetest little thing ever. She's so smart. So this time around, you know, I was like, I know every set of parents are different. They're not all the same. I said, but, you know, I really want someone who's got, you know, the how do I say it? Like the characteristics of them, you know, I said, if not exactly like them, which I know is impossible, close.
Yeah.
So when they sent me, their photos, they reminded me of them in the photos because everything was so fun in their photos, like their wedding and places they go to. And I was like, and what really got me was there was a photo from their wedding and it was their whole family and it was a gorgeous picture. And I was like, this family's gorgeous. I was like, I love this. And, you know, I was nervous to meet them because I was like, you know, I knew they liked me and I knew I liked them. But, you know, when you meet on Zoom, it could go different. And I met them on Zoom. We hit it off so quick, just like I did with my first set. You know, they got to be there when I did the transfer. And their excitement in there reminded me of my first intended father's excitement in the delivery room. So I can only imagine when the time comes for me to have this little one, how they're going to be, which yeah. I know overwhelmed with emotion.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I wish all of you the best of luck. That is just such a cool, I'm so excited for you. And I'm glad that this transfer was successful, and sending all of the best of luck and vibes to all of you. And I love that we can follow along. Maybe we'll have to do an update episode and see how things are going. What advice would you give other women who are considering becoming a surrogate?
I my biggest advice to them is really do your research, and make sure, you know, it's something that you want to do, and make sure you get matched with, you know, if it's an agency, that it's a legit agency who really cares for all their surrogates. Or if you're doing independent, you know, somebody that really cares and is putting their time and effort into making sure that you and your intended parents, you know, are comfortable and, you know, you have just a strong communication. And, you know, don't be afraid of what others think. I have found, because I share it on social media, you know, I have a TikTok page that I share my journey. You get a lot of people that go on there and they just talk terrible about it. And it's people who don't know.
Yeah.
And just some of the things they say, I don't let it get to me. And I always tell them, you know, if you decide to do it, don't let what others say get to you. You do what you want to do. You do what your heart says. You know, I had never thought about being one. I never thought about it. And so, you know, obviously I wanted a lot of support when I wanted to be one, but I didn't care what the whole world thought. You know, I was doing this for, you know, a couple that wanted a baby. I'm not doing this for the whole world.
Then as long as you know you're doing good, you're growing love, you're you know, helping grow a family. And like I always say, if that's wrong, I don't want to be right. I'll take that.
Yeah.
That's great advice.
Exactly. I just, you know, my husband, he's the same way. He goes, don't listen to what people, you know, have to say. Because, you know, there were times where, you know, I'd have, you know, someone that was just this random person on TikTok say, oh, this is human trafficking. And I'm like, okay, I wasn't forced to do this. I chose to do this, you know. I feel like some people feel like surrogacy is based on like just a person picking a random woman off the street and forcing them to do it. And that's not, you know, what it is. You know, I always say there's so much more into it than just carrying a baby. There's, you know, there's the legal part, there's the medical part, there's injections, you know, there's a lot to it. But, you know, you can't please the whole world. And I surely don't do it to please the whole world. I do it because I enjoy doing it and I love doing it.
Yeah. And I was, some of the deepest connections that I've made are with fellow Soro sisters, and the Soro sisterhood is one like no other. And it's great that you have that. And I think that's another great piece of advice is find your tribe. And if that's not with people directly in your life, there are plenty of support groups, whether that's through your agency or online or whatever. But yeah, finding those women, because a lot of your friends may understand pregnancy, but understanding a surrogacy pregnancy is definitely a whole different ball game of things and emotions. And I think it's wonderful that you have been able to find that. And I couldn't agree more with finding, building some of those bonds with fellow surrogates is an amazing part of the whole process. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. I always love hearing other surrogates' stories about where they're at in the process. And I love that we were able to talk about your newest adventure and journey. And hopefully we can follow along and things continue to go amazingly well for you and your intended parents. I can't wait to watch. I'll have to follow you again on social media as well, so we can follow along on your journey. And I appreciate your time today. That brings us to the end of this episode of the Normalized Surrogacy Podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I want to thank our very special guest, Savannah, for joining us for this chat today. Be sure to check us out online at surrogacymentor.com and modernparentmentor.com if you're interested in knowing whether surrogacy is right for you, and take our 2-minute easy quiz on our website if you're interested in becoming a surrogate. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to learn more about gestational surrogacy and how to have a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey. Talk to you next time.